Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehrer. The new movie Fruitvale Station is based on the true story of Oscar Grant. No spoilers here, but it was a huge news story at the time. The young Oscar Grant was shot and killed by a BART transit cop in Oakland, California on New Year's Eve 2008 after he was suspected of being involved in a fight on the train. And the entire incident was caught on cell phone videos. So now another installment in our occasional series, Context and a Movie, where we try to provide a little bit of real-world context to a popular film in theaters. Here to discuss Fruitvale Station in light of Oscar Grant and Trayvon Martin is Wesley Morris, a Pulitzer Prize winner and critic for Grantland, and Bob Butler, a reporter for KCBS in the Bay Area. Wesley, Bob, welcome to WNYC.
Good morning.
Thanks for having me. Good morning.
Bob, I want to start with you. In case listeners here in New York don't know, aren't totally familiar with this story, let's go back to real life, not the movie. What did the police officer who shot Oscar Grant back in the early morning, January 2009, get charged with, and what was he eventually convicted of?
He was charged with manslaughter. People wanted him to be charged with murder. I think it was a second-degree murder charge in the beginning. But in the end, he was convicted of involuntary manslaughter, which was the charge that even many defense attorneys says was the appropriate charge.
And what was the defense of the BART cop?
Well, basically what he said was that they got a call about a fight on the train, and they got to this Fruitvale station, which is one of the BART stops, and they pulled a bunch of young men off of the train, and it got to be pretty raucous out there, and at some point the police officer, Johannes Messerli, is trying to put cuffs on Oscar Grant, who was lying face down on the platform. And the cell phone video was rolling, and all of a sudden, you know, Messerli backs up, pulls out his handgun, and fires one shot. And, it stunned everybody on the train who was watching this. People couldn't believe what they were seeing. And Messerli, what he said was he thought he had his stun gun, not his pistol. And that was his defense.
And he, in fact, had his pistol, shot one bullet, and Oscar Grant eventually died. Listeners, were you in Oakland or the Bay Area in January 2009 when the Oscar Grant shooting happened, and have you seen the movie? If so, give us a call. The phone number is 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. We'd love to hear your reaction on the movie in the context of someone who lived there at the time. Did it feel familiar? Did you learn things that you didn't know from the media coverage at the time? Do you feel like some things are misrepresented? The phone number, 212-433-9692. Now, Wesley, let's talk about the movie Fruitvale Station. It stars Michael B. Jordan, who fans may know from his roles on The Wire and Friday Night Lights, and Octavia Spencer plays Oscar Grant's mother. You first saw this movie back in January at Sundance, and then you saw it again just after the George Zimmerman verdict came down. How did it play differently for you?
I think that, you know, the first time, I think I was much more sort of aware of what the audience was feeling about this movie. I was there. I mean, I saw it in the capacity I also was a juror for the festival. The eye through which I was watching it was slightly narrow. And I don't think my feelings about the movie necessarily have changed as a piece of filmmaking, but I think its cultural value has sort of been magnified or amplified in the wake of this verdict, where, you know, the thing that people talk about a lot, in the Zimmerman case is the verdict and Zimmerman himself, and this sort of speculation about, you know, the fact that we don't actually know what exactly happened between them in that time between Martin's death and the time that George Zimmerman hung up his phone. But I think the thing that gets lost in this is the actual human being that Trayvon Martin was. And I think that a movie like Fruitvale Station sort of is determined to remind people that there are people, human beings, that sort of get lost in the conversation about justice and the criminal justice system itself, and the sort of racial divisions that happen when a black male is shot or killed, regardless of who the assailant is. So that we get focused on a lot of numbers and statistics and, you know, how to solve problems. But I think that Ryan Coogler, the director of this movie, had a very sort of earnest and understandable strategy in telling Oscar Grant's story, which is to tell the audience who Oscar Grant was, as opposed to focusing on the riots that happened after the shooting and the trial of Johannes Messerli. And I think that that is sort of a worthy thing to attempt to do in a movie landscape in which, complicated portrait of black men infrequently happens.
Yeah. So again, this movie, for those who have not seen it, what it does, it starts with the cell phone, with video cell phone footage, which looks like video cell phone footage of the shooting. So you know how the story is going to end. And then it follows Oscar Grant through the day leading up to when he is shot on that BART station platform by a BART transit cop. I saw the movie last Friday after hearing President Obama weigh in on the Trayvon Martin case and the George Zimmerman verdict, and was thinking a lot about his line about how we take care of African-American boys in this country. Let's hear just a clip of what President Obama had to say.
Am I wringing as much bias out of myself as I can? Am I judging people as much as I can based on not the color of their skin, but the content of their character? That would, I think, be an appropriate exercise in the wake of this tragedy.
So, Wesley, I want to ask you about that. The president is saying there, let's have another conversation about race. Let's actually do some self-reflection and think about our bias and the way that we see people around us in this country. Is that why you think this movie is sort of catching, because it's showing Oscar Grant as a real three-dimensional character?
Well, I think anytime you get a fuller picture of a person who becomes a symbol for something, I think it does sort of cause you to think about your assumptions when it comes to stereotypes and black men in particular, and crime and who commits those crimes and what kind of crimes certain people of certain races look like, or certain socioeconomic stations in this country, where they are socioeconomically. It was a really interesting thing for him to say that in that particular way, because it takes the onus off of people as racial figures. Do you know what I mean? I think it sort of puts the onus on an individual person to really sort of check him and herself to see, you know, how do I really feel about, you know, some guy in a hoodie walking down the street who isn't really bothering me, but, like, what kind of alarm does that set off? Or, you know, like, the stories that he tells about things that happen to many black men in elevators and department stores. For me, my favorite thing is what happens to me when I go to a restaurant alone and I'm meeting a party, or I'm eating by myself, and the assumptions that people have about what I'm doing there, or like what kind of food I might want to eat. It's the little things like that that, you know, aren't, I mean, it doesn't make the person who holds that thought a racist, but I think that it sort of is of a piece with this larger sort of institutional racism that is much more interesting to me than, you know, direct racial slurs. I think the ways in which we've all been poisoned by racist institutions and sort of in stereotypes is a very fascinating thing. And I think the president is sort of wondering how we can rid ourselves of that. And I think that he, as the president, is wondering this. He's also wondering it as a black man. And I think this is the thing that a lot of black people have been doing from a soul-searching standpoint at this moment. And not just black people, but all, you know, just Americans in general, anybody in this country who has interacted with anybody else. Every once in a while has a moment where you really are surprised that you think what you just thought about another person that you don't know based on how they look.
I want to bring Vincent from the Bronx into the conversation. You saw Fruitvale Station, and you also have sons. What did you think of the movie?
Oh, I thought the movie was good. Actually, you know, in the beginning, I didn't really, I just walked in on it. I didn't even know what it was about. I thought it was really an excellent movie because it brought back barely memories as a 64-year-old black male. And I was, you know, I was really emotionally taken aback. Actually, I could have even walked out. It affected me so much because of my experience of growing up in the South Bronx and having two sons that are 34 and 30. And one's a professional athlete who was stopped because he had a BMW, at the time driving around. And it's so hard because we take four steps forward, and it seems like every time something like this happens, which it's so frustrating, and we talk about it. I don't know any black male that hasn't been stopped for a reason. You know, I could be walking down the street, I see these police cars just pull up, they stop a male, jump out, and they just start searching him. You know, I don't know what the protocol for that is, you know, what the rules and regulations, but it's frustrating to see because you can't do anything. Even if I, as an adult black male, want to stop and make sure everything's okay, they'll generally try to push you on to move on, you know, because they don't want you to see what's going on. And they don't. Go ahead.
Well, Vincent, I want to ask you, I mean, I can't imagine what it would be like to just walk into this movie unprepared and not knowing what you're going to see because it's so wrenching. I mean, what were you feeling as the credits started to roll at the end of the movie?
Well, I think just the silence. You didn't even hear anybody talking or saying anything. You just walk out, and it was kind of painful because it's reiterating everything that you experience. You know, I've seen people shot in the neighborhood that I grew up. You know, I've seen, it was drug infested. At my time, it was heroin, and then it went to cocaine, and I was gone by that time. You know, moved all over the city, beautiful neighborhoods, you know, Manhattan, Central Park West, 95th Street. I moved to Rockland, you know, and I'm back to the Bronx now because I separated, you know, and I'm in a way, I'm glad I'm here because I'm in Co-op City, but you see things that that movie brought back. I was really surprised how it affected me. I really was because, you know, you know these things. I talked to my sons about race. I mean, one went to a private school, Don Bosco, in high school, and then went to Notre Dame. And we talk about it almost every day. Huh. I told them we have to pick and choose our battles. You know, they about his hair. There was issues about him wearing twists, you know, and I mean, but these are major issues, and that movie is a powerful movie. I think everyone should see it, you know, not just blacks or, you know, just everyone should see it because the Trayvon Martin case, it really hit me because I'm amazed. I know the rules and the regulations on Miami as far as stand your ground, but it's so ridiculous because if anybody of any other culture put their child in that position walking with a can and Skittles, and somebody ends up shooting, a grown man ends up shooting him, you know, I don't care how ridiculous, you know, I mean, what could he say that's justifiable to that?
All right.
I don't get it.
Vincent.
I don't get it. And it seems like, once again, I'll reiterate myself, we take four steps or five steps forward, and then when something like this happens again and again and again, you know, I mean, we know in New York City because we, I thought he had a gun, but it was a cell phone. Oh, they shoot a guy. I can't remember the guy's name. 40 times, they shoot at him 40 times, and it just breaks my heart because it could be my sons. I remember when my sons were stopped, they said to him literally, "Do you have any drugs?" The first thing they do, "You got any drugs? You got any this?" And then when they found out he was from Notre Dame and played for Notre Dame. Oh, it was a different story.
Things.
They wanted his autograph.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your call, Vincent. Thank you so much for your call, Vincent. I'm Anna Sale in for Brian Lehr, speaking to Bob Butler, a reporter for KCBS in the Bay Area, and Wesley Morris, who wrote about Fruitvale Station in Grantland. Bob Butler, what's been the reaction to this movie in Oakland? Are people talking about it? Oh, you there, Bob Butler?
You know what? I'm sorry. I went on mute because I had coughed.
So oh, there you go. Okay. What's been the reaction in Oakland?
People are talking about it. People are very happy the movie is out because they don't want the story to die. And I think Oscar Grant's family is very happy because they don't feel they got justice with the verdict, but they also don't feel like it was appropriate for people to riot and tear stuff up in Oscar Grant's name. So they're very happy the movie is out, and they're encouraging people to see it.
And the movie ends Again, we know the ending of the movie at the beginning of the movie, so I'm not giving anything away. But the movie ends with a vigil that was held at Fruitvale Station at the start of this year. So is this something that the Trayvon Martin case has sort of amplified again? Was Oakland moving on, or has it been something that people have steadily and consistently wanted to remember?
Well, I think the Trayvon Martin case, to coin the phrase, open up an old wound, because people in Oakland said that, you know, this is exactly the same thing that happened to Oscar Grant. And the fact that, at least in the Grant case, you had a conviction. People are very angry that there was no conviction in the Trayvon Martin case. In fact, the bad thing about some people in Oakland is that they take their frustration out on local businesses. And I was out there the night that the Messerly verdict came in, and people were rioting and tearing up local businesses. And I was at a local Foot Locker, and I had video of people tearing open the store and running off with shoes. And I talked to one young woman. I said, "So why are you out here?" Well, she said the verdict wasn't strong enough. I said, "Yeah, but you're carrying a bunch of shoes. That has nothing to do with Oscar with Oscar Grant." And people are unapologetic about it. And so I think that's another reason why you saw the violence you did after the Martin verdict, the Zimmerman verdict, because some people use any excuse they can to tear stuff up, and that's what happened.
Wesley Morris, I want to get your thoughts about how you sort of see Fruitvale Station in with the reaction to the George Zimmerman verdict. I was struck sitting in the theater as the credits rolled, people just weeping, and it felt like that was where there was a lot of emotional response to what had been happening recently in the news. There weren't the riots after the George Zimmerman verdict came out. There were marches, but not a lot of violence. I mean, is Fruitvale Station where there's sort of a quiet meditation about what's been happening?
Well, I think my personal theory is that I think we're at a really interesting moment in this country where I think we have been through every possible iteration of racism, and I think that we're at a point now where I think a lot of people are like, they don't know, no one knows really what to do. And so every time something like this happens, whether it's memorialized in a film or, you know, you get something like the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman situation, I think every time someone dies and it's inexplicable or unnecessary, you just kind of have to start searching your soul, because there doesn't seem to be an apparent solution to any of these problems, whether it's within the criminal justice system or whether it's just, you know, racial profiling and the assumption that someone is someone is not who they appear to be, but you assume that that's who they are because you've been sort of programmed or institutionalized to think that way, or whether it's just, you know, you're in your neighborhood and some guy drives by and thinks you're one guy and shoots and then hits your kid. I mean, I think that there are so many different arms to this sort of cultural tragedy that I think that, you know, rioting doesn't solve anything. You know, having a black president by the black president's own admission doesn't solve anything. I think that the onus is really on each individual person, all of us, to sort of think about how we feel. And I don't know. I think we're at a point now where I think collectively we don't understand the value of that sort of street violence. You know, I mean, going out in the streets and like smashing up stores and stuff, I just think it dishonors the person in whose name you're doing it. And I also think, and this is sort of a hard thing to quantify, but it's worth thinking about. And, you know, my personal theory is that I think having Barack Obama in the White House has calmed an aspect of protest down. And I think it has sort of empowered people to maybe think about changing things from within in the system. And you see Eric Holder sort of doing an interesting thing this week by, you know, since the verdict, he's been very visible. Talking about laws and thinking about the way the Justice Department can, you know, restore some kind of order legislatively or legally. And I just think it's interesting that, like, we're now thinking about tools to change things as opposed to, you know, a sort of formless, shapeless, reactionary response to these sorts of tragedies.
Interesting. I've been speaking to Wesley Morris, a critic for Grantland, a Pulitzer Prize winner, and Bob Butler, a reporter for KCBS in the Bay Area, about the movie Fruitvale Station. It's part of our occasional series, Context and a Movie. Thanks so much for joining us on WNYC.
My pleasure.
My pleasure.
Coming up, we're going to be talking about the smells of the city in the summertime, good and bad. I'm Anna Sale in for Brian Lehrer.
Into the mirror and see my own image, it feels like it's something else far from the distance, something I want to see. But-